Matthew Arnold and George Eliot, in varying degrees, and not always directly, acknowledged their loss of religious faith in their works. Alfred, Lord Tennyson, the greatest poet of the Victorian era, clung by a whisker to his belief in God. Even in later years, when his poems sold in vast numbers, when he was poet laureate and friend of Queen Victoria, the old doubts lingered. He was born into an isolated Lincolnshire rectory in 1809. Home life was miserable, with an embittered and sometimes violent father. But Tennyson found friendship and hope in his years at Cambridge. He formed a profound, albeit platonic, attachment to Arthur Hallam, a fellow undergraduate. When Hallam died within a few years, Tennyson, a depressive by nature, was inconsolable. The artistic result of this overwhelming grief was his great series of elegies, In Memoriam. Somehow, Tennyson had to find a way of holding on to belief in a saving deity, a task made more difficult by the poet's early awareness of the new ideas about geological time and evolution. Tennyson acknowledges the truth of the new science, yet cannot bear to part with the old faith.
There rolls the deep where grew the tree. O earth, what changes hast thou seen? There, where the long street roars, hath been the stillness of the central sea. The hills are shadows, and they flow from form to form, and nothing stands. They melt like mist, the solid lands. Like clouds they shape themselves and go. But in my spirit will I dwell, and dream my dream, and hold it true. For though my lips may breathe adieu, I cannot think the thing farewell.
Tennyson seems to have felt almost obliged, by his fame and position, to produce long, vaguely philosophical works. Maud, it is true, is a masterpiece, but his finest verse is almost always his most concentrated. Short, agonized expressions of grief and loss, like this song from The Princess, which articulates something deeper than mere nostalgia.
Tears, idle tears, I know not what they mean. Tears from the depths of some divine despair rise in the heart and gather to the eyes in looking on the happy autumn fields and thinking of the days that are no more. Fresh as the first beam glittering on a sail that brings our friends up from the underworld, sad as the last which reddens over one that sinks with all we love below the verge. So sad, so fresh, the days that are no more. Ah, sad and strange as in dark summer dawns the earliest pipe of half-awakened birds to dying ears, when unto dying eyes the casement slowly grows a glimmering square. So sad, so strange, the days that are no more. Dear as remembered kisses after death, and sweet as those by hopeless fancy feigned on lips that are for others, deep as love, deep as first love, and wild with all regret. Oh, death in life, the days that are no more.